2 Peter chapter number 2, we are heading back to the message we left off this morning. I'm not going to pre-preach the whole first part of the message since it was this morning. I do a little bit of review. We're going to review for a couple minutes and we're going to take off in the second part of the message. And so our message this morning was, you're not missing anything, based on 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 through 22, and how the world and the devil strive and really try. What do I say? I don't have my microphone on, do I? I do not. Thank you. All right, very much. My microphone is on now, I think. All right, yes, thank you, Brother Coe. That the devil and the world strive to try and make the Christian feel that he is missing out on things, that the Christian is missing out on all the fun. I mean, you see the billboards. I mean, you see the culture. Was out traveling this week, walking through three different airports and just looking around and seeing how people are and how they act and being around different types of people all week long. I'll tell you what, our culture's in a mess. Our country's broken in a lot of ways. And we need to turn back to the Lord Jesus Christ. But what the saddest thing is, and I shared this morning, I'll share it again, is that I was on the airplane flying from Houston to Indianapolis, and I was sitting near the back of the plane, where I like it in the back of the plane, because, well, sometimes, but usually the last to get off, but then you don't have a bunch of people, you know, usually the back of the plane is kind of empty. I like to sit by myself and leave everyone alone when I fly. I'm just kind of like that. I just like to, you know, to lay down or do something. But anyway, so I was in the back of the plane, and so I had this Indian gentleman sit behind me. And he was talking to his friend next to him, or the person next to him, and that he was a musician that did some reggae music work. And then that caught the attention of a girl that was sitting across the aisle from him on the left over here, one row behind me. And I'd seen her get on and everything, of course, you know, look completely worldly, piercings everywhere, dressed and modest. I mean, it was terrible. And, you know, he just used to seeing people like that. With, you know, very, you know, short shorts on and everything. And in what she said was very interesting. She's like, oh yeah, I am a missionary. And I've been in the Bahamas. I was a missionary. And I just love your music. I love going out and dancing with the people and getting to know them and doing all this stuff. And to me, I'm just thinking in my mind, I was like cringing. I was like, Lord, this person is a representative of yourself. A missionary. But no more different than the world than anybody else. And the devil wants Christians to think that, hey, holiness isn't important, separation is extremism, that commitment to the Lord is no longer necessary because we're free, we're under grace, we don't need to commit to the Lord. God wants us to be happy, right? Wants us to be able to do what we want to do. And tonight I want to encourage you with something. As we look around and recall our experiences, we're going to be looking at what we're missing out on. We're missing out on some things as Christian people. If you're living for God, you're missing out on some things that are going on in the world today. You know, we say, well, I don't want to miss out. But really, we're not missing anything when we take a look at it. Let's read 2 Peter chapter 2 again. Let's all stand together out of respect for the reading of the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 through 22. If you could follow along as I read. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh. Through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of this world, of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Now, verse 21 is a very powerful statement. If it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. For it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Let's take a few moments and ask the Lord's blessing. Dear Father, we thank you, Lord, for tonight. And I pray, Lord, we're thankful that many of us are missing out on some things in this world. I pray that we would look at these remaining areas that we need to look at tonight. Dear Lord, help us to be clean. Help us, Lord, to turn our back on the world and the lusts of it and the allurement, for the devil makes it look so good, but it's not. It's empty. And Lord, it will destroy us. I pray that we be wise tonight and heed your word and be a doer, as James chapter 1 says, that we would honor your word and do it and live by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You're not missing anything. The first 2 points this morning, the first one was, you're missing out. What are you missing out on? You're missing out on emptiness. The world has offered so much, but in the end, it does not fulfill. It does not satisfy. We see that with Solomon in Ecclesiastes. We're not going to go back all through that again. But I encourage you to read Ecclesiastes 1 and 2 this week. You see everything, a lot of what our culture is based on. Two things. Doing whatever feels good to me and making a lot of money and having a big house. Those are two main themes we see in our culture today. And the big thing is that we see Solomon is he decided that he was going to not withhold anything from himself. He's going to have and imbibe in pleasures and all kinds of things. And that he was going to build building projects, build palaces and gold and had men servants and had servants and had all of these things, had a great accomplishment. I mean, he was living as kings should. He had this great, huge palace. He had many accomplishments. He had people saying great things about him and all of this. He gets to the end and everything was great. And I didn't withhold anything for myself. I could buy or do anything I wanted. And it was building up to a climax. Like, man, this sounds really great. And what did he find out? That it was all vanity. And vexation of spirit. Empty. Vanity means emptiness. It was empty. It didn't fulfill. And the devil promises so much, but he gives empty promises. The world promises so much, but it's empty. Aren't you glad you're missing out on that? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not empty. We're fulfilled through what Jesus Christ has provided. We're so glad that we have the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Excuse me. Next we see is confusion. The world is confused about many things. We looked at that. The world's confused about what truth is, what morality is, what gender they are, what marriage is, what being a parent is, about who God is, about who Jesus is, what the Bible really says. The world is confused about that. And if you go after the world, then very soon you will be confused too as a Christian. If you say, well, I'm a Christian, and these things are okay, and the Bible says they're not okay, but we say that they are, we're confused. We're confused about those things. Confused means mixed, blended, so that the person or things mixed cannot be distinguished the one from the other. And this brings what? Being perplexed by disorder. Being perplexed by it. That's what confusion means. That's why when God said that it was an abomination for a man to lie with a man or a woman to a woman or a person with a beast, to commit immorality. That's what he said. It is confusion. It is something that brings perplexion. It's not natural. And I believe that we can apply both definitions here, for we see both at work or when we're around people that they say they're a Christian, that they have so many worldly things they say and they believe in philosophies, but then they say some spiritual things and they're so confused you can't know what, you don't know what to make out of them. You don't know whether they're saved or they're lost or they're a Christian or if they're the world. You don't know. There is confusion there. And God's word is very clear about that, that the Lord is not the author of confusion in 1 Corinthians 14:43, that he is not the author of confusion. He doesn't want us to be confused. The world can confuse a Christian. He confuses a Christian in not knowing what is right and wrong, to what is wise and foolish, what is dangerous and what is safe, what is truth and what is error. And the devil wants to switch everything and make us confused about that. So those are the two things we're missing out on. That was what we went over this morning. But tonight I want us to look at the third thing we're missing out on. We're missing out on bondage. Bondage, slavery. Let's go back to our text in 2 Peter, right over here. 2 Peter, now verse number 19 says this. While they promised them liberty, now who's talking about them? People that claim to be a Christian, that have been saved, had known the knowledge of the Word of God, have lived right, and decided to go over to the other side and live like the world. And now they are going and trying to get people who are doing right to join them in doing wrong. We've all met people like this. They try and bring you over to their way of thinking. Why? Because they're convicted by your life, and in order that conviction to stop, they want you to be like them. Right? And that's exactly what we see. We see that around us with the different liberal agendas around us. You know, what did they say? With the sodomite crowd, this observation was made very true. In that it used to be, well, we just love everyone. We just need to be loved. But then it went to, well, we deserve rights. And now it is becoming, be like us or else. That's what sin does. That's what's going on. And that is what is going on in Christendom right now, is people that have been saved, but they're living like the world and deceive themselves into thinking things or certain things are okay when they're not, when the Bible clearly teaches them. Now they're saying, you need to be like us or else. Or you're an extremist, or you're a legalist, or you're this or that. And they begin throwing stones, and they begin throwing things. And they say, wait, we don't want to be labeled like that. So they try and peer pressure people into believing like they believe. This is the person that is described here. In that they promise freedom. You're going to be free from all those rules. You're going to be free from those standards. You're going to be free from that oppression. You're in an oppressive church. You have an oppressive pastor. You believe in an oppressive book. You need to be set free. Sound familiar? Sounds familiar. Guess what? Know what they're saying right here? That trusting and following Christ is freedom. We read that in James chapter 1. Didn't realize James chapter 1 went along with the message real good tonight. In that, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, not just look at it, but do it, live it, and continueth therein, and he, not being a forgetful hearer, you know what a forgetful hearer is? Someone that hears it but chooses to forget it. Don't our kids do that? You tell them to do something, and then they say, okay, Mom, I'll do it. And then, okay, Dad, I'll do it. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am, I'll do it. And then 10 minutes later, why didn't you do it? Oh, some amazing thing happened. You know, I was just doing this, and then something came along in my brain. It just popped out. It just flew away. I have no idea what happened about that. You know what happened? Is neither one, we weren't paying attention, usually we are, or number two, is it something that you didn't think was important to you or you didn't want to do, so you chose to forget about it. You know, we can choose to forget about things. And when the time when you're confronted about it, you really have forgot, it wasn't by accident, but you chose to. That's what being a forgetful hearer is. And he not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That's a blessing. Doing the work of God is a blessing. It's not bondage. It's not slavery, but those that are living the world's way, that is slavery. That is bondage. While they promise them liberty, they themselves, those they're trying to get you to be like them, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. So what do you mean he's overcome? It means he lost the battle. He used to do right. He used to be there. He used to love God. He used to go soul winning. He used to go to church faithfully. He used to read his Bible. He used to do a lot of things. And he used to not do a lot of things that he wasn't supposed to do. But now, he saw the signs and the glitz and the glam. He had someone whispering in their ear. You know what, this morning, you know, I'll be honest with you as a pastor. When I said, who's whispering in your ear? I was shocked how many people raised their hand. I was shocked. I was like, whoa. Amen. I'm glad being honest about it. But we got someone whispering in our ear. We better get rid of that person whispering. Amen. Do something about it. Because you listen long enough, you begin to do it. Amen. Get away from it. Don't let someone whisper in your ear. But that someone that used to do right and used to be that. Now, we know the world always whispers in our ear. We know that. But this is a Christian person. And this person is almost more dangerous because we trust them. Oh, I'm saved just like you. Oh, yes, I trusted Christ and that, and they seem to be okay on the outside, and you talk to them and say, oh, yeah, why don't you come soul winning with me? Oh, yeah, I used to do that. But then I started studying my Bible. And I started, yeah, amen, you all heard this. And I started studying my Bible. You know what? And I really don't think the Great Commission is for us. I think the Great Commission has already been fulfilled. So I don't think I need to be soul winning. I don't need to be a witness in this world. I just need to live my life the way I need to live it. You know what? That appeals to the flesh. Hey, no responsibility. I don't have to do anything. Hey, I don't have to go out when it's 95 degrees and knock on a door and they don't want to hear anyway. Amen? We don't have to go out when it's cold, which is never here in Texas, okay? You know, I don't want to go out when it's mostly the blistering hot part of it, you know. Ever been in door knocking? I was telling Brother Larson this. Ever been in those entryways that are sunk in a little bit? They have no airflow whatsoever. And you get in there, it's like 110 degrees, and you're knocking on the door, and you knock on the door, it's metal, and it's hurting your knuckles, you know, because it's hot, and then you're standing there, and you're waiting for them, and you're like, hey, maybe nobody's going to be at this door. And then they answer the door, and then they want to hear the gospel, and you mean you're pouring sweat and everything, you know, and hey, pluck him out of the fire, amen, you know, you're just doing that. But you know what, we think all that flashes through our mind, hey, that sounds good. Guess what, if that's the way you think, it's going to be very easy for you to be overcome. Amen. You can be overcome. What happened? My thing died. Okay, I'm out of battery. Could I have two new batteries, please? I'm out of battery, so I'll stay here for a moment. I'm out. All right, thank you. Thankfully, we have rechargeable batteries. See, it's always when I get to the interesting part, something happens. But make sure all the doors stay on. Anyway, and the power stays on. Maybe it'll be something new this week. Thank you very much. Thank you. Pause for a moment. Jeopardy music, please. All right, here we go. There we go. All right. Got two on this one. I think it'll last, maybe. It should. I'll preach fast. Okay. But that they thought that way, and it's like, you know what? That sounds like a good idea. You know what? That person has been overcome. They have chosen to believe a lie. They have chosen to believe something because it goes along with how they're feeling. So this person has been overcome, and they have enslaved themselves back to what they were saved from. Amen? There's bondage in our own lust. Now we're going to look at the book of Romans. Romans chapter 6 and Romans chapter 8, quickly. Romans chapter 6. In verse number 16, Romans 6, 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. If you decide to listen to your heart or listen to your feelings or listen to anything else, listen to what the devil is saying, then as soon as you obey what he is telling you to do, you become his servant. And guess what? When you obey the devil for the first time, you're stuck. He slaps a chain on you, and you're slave to him again. Now, can Jesus set you free? Absolutely can. But you are choosing to enslave yourself again. But that's not how the devil presents it. He presents it as a partnership. That he is going to help you attain what you've always wanted, to accomplish your dreams, and to have the dreams of everything that you ever wanted, and you could do it with minimal amount of work too. He'll give it all to you. You know what? You see, the devil offers that to Jesus, to have all the kingdoms of the world, in a moment of time, show him all the kingdoms and the principalities, all the power of the world. I'll give you all the power over all the world, if you'll but bow and worship me. I see that as, Lord, just burn them right there. Why can't we move up the timeline and put them in the lake of fire right now? Right? Because who is he talking to? You know what he is saying? Jesus, I'll give you all this if you'll be my slave and do what I want you to do. You know who he's talking to? Lucifer is talking to his creator and the mighty God, the all-powerful God. Didn't matter to him. But what the devil is lying about, he is implying that he is the ruler of this world. He isn't. He is the prince of the power of the air, but Jesus is still on the throne of this earth. Amen? He still is. Jesus already had it all. Jesus all had all power and authority was given unto him. But the devil does the same to us. But he promises it all, but it always brings bondage. Romans 8, 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Verse number 21, chapter 8 here. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So as children of God, you have glorious liberty. You're free. You're not a slave. Amen? You were a slave when you were lost. You were spiritually a slave, but you have been set free. I think that we lose sight of what slavery is. Verse 20 in 2 Peter chapter 2 tells us what the end result will be. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Do you know what the end is? In that when you're lost, you can sin and you can enjoy it a little bit for a time, but then it brings fulfillment. You know, as a Christian, you go and sin, you get no joy or fulfillment out of it, or very little, because you have that conviction of the Holy Spirit. You have that prodding of God that this is against our nature now. We have the sin nature, but the spiritual nature within us is still renewed, and it's going against that, whereas lost people don't have that. So that's why the end is worse than the beginning, and that the vexation and the emptiness is even more so than when we're lost, because we know what the truth is, and we decide to turn our back on it. I think that we lose sight of what slavery is. We hear so much about it in our media and things, but let's make sure we have a clear picture of what slavery is. Here it is. Here's what a slave cannot do. A slave cannot decide where he wants to go, cannot decide what he wants to do. He cannot stop when he wants to stop, and he must obey the commands of his master. And so what he's saying here in 2 Peter, that someone who has gone to the side of the world and living a worldly lifestyle, they look free, but they're not. They're a slave to the devil. They're a slave to their lust. They're a slave to their sin. But that's what Jesus saved us from. When you decide to go the ways of the world, you're deciding to sell yourself into bondage. But those that would go in that direction tell a great lie. You'll be free if you go and do what you want. You can throw up the shackles of rules and regulations. The promise of rebellion is always what people want to hear. But the fruit of rebellion is always not what people want to experience. I'll say that again. The promise of rebellion is always what people want to hear. But the fruit of rebellion is always not what people want to experience. Sin always makes you pay more than you wanted to, cost you more than you want to pay, and takes you farther than you ever wanted to go. Here's the quiz to evaluate if you're in bondage. 1 John 1:8 tells us, that's not my problem, I'm not in bondage. Do you think you've gone too far to change? Pastor, I've gone too far down this road. I can't change now. Then you're a slave. Christ can set you free from that. Do you want to stop a sin but think that you can't? You know what? I've tried, Pastor, but I'm just done too far. I'm a slave to it. I'm just done with it. I'm just the way it's going to be. No, it doesn't have to be. You can be set free from it. You're just believing the lie. Do you deny the fact that you're enslaved to sin by justifying your sin? Be honest with yourself. Well, you know what? I don't really have a problem with that. I can stop anytime I want. Then do it. Man? Then do it. You know, that's when that with alcoholics say, hey, I can stop drinking anytime I want. Good, then do it. I say, well, people that are addicted to cigarettes, hey, I can stop anytime I want. Great, then now's a great time. Do it. Then what do they always say? They hem and haw and say, well, you know, I haven't planned for it or anything. I thought you said you could stop anytime you want. You can't, because you've deceived yourself. You're enslaved. You can't set yourself free, but Jesus can. He can set anyone free. Do you exhibit the signs of rebellion? Do you exhibit the signs of rebellion? Stubbornness, pride, refusing instruction, bristling at rebuke? That's rebellion. Do you have those symptoms in your life? If you do, then you're enslaved right now. But Christ can set you free and get you untangled from the flesh and the world. Christ loves you and wants you to be free. This is the fact of the matter. You can choose to sell yourself, but only Christ can set you free again. You can choose to put yourself there, but you can't get yourself out. Only Christ can. Amen. The last thing you're missing out on is grief. There's a great price to pay for being like the world. The world may seem that they have it all figured out. They don't. There is only one way for man to live. I've talked to too many people that have lived the life of the world. They say, well, I made everyone think I had it all figured out, but I didn't. My life was falling apart. I was falling apart on the inside. I didn't have it figured out. I was miserable. Take it from people that have done it. Listen, there is only one way for man to live, the way God created us. A prime example of what worldliness will do to a Christian life is the account of Lot. In that he was a saved man. He had followed Abraham. I was going to read it in the passage, but I'll just paraphrase it for sake of time. In that there came a time that the possessions of Abraham, his goats and herds were too great, and Lot's were too great, that their herdsmen, their shepherds were fighting. You know, isn't that always what happens? Always over stuff and things. And so what happened is Abraham proposed that they separate. themselves and that lot go one way and Abraham would go the other. And I said, well, why did Abraham do that? I don't know. We don't know why Abraham did that. But Lot decided, he looked around and he saw the plains of Sodom, the plains of Jordan there, the well-watered plains, or Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities were built there. And he said, you know, that looks good. The grass is greener. That's where that comes from. The grass is greener over there. Hey, I'm going to go that way. And he said he pitched his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah. The place burnt off the face of the earth because of sodomy. And he ended up living there. Then he became a ruler of the city. But 2 Peter chapter number 2 and verses 7 and 8, a little bit before where we're at, let's look back over there, tells us something about Lot. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Well, why did he stay? Pressure. His family wanted to be there. We see that his daughters married and didn't want to leave. His wife didn't want to leave. Why did he go there in the first place? He made a mistake. Things looked good, but then when he got there, it wasn't what he expected. But then when he was vexed, he didn't do anything about it. You know what? There's a lot of Christian people that are vexed and have grief in their life, and they don't do anything about it. They just, I'll get around to it. They never do. By the way, when you say that you're going to get around to something, and you never do, man, went through another set of batteries. Man, I think the Lord's trying to tell me to stop my sermon right here. Okay, but I'll stay in here for the rest. Just turn the pulpit on, Brother Cole. I'll finish here. I'll try not to move. But so what happened is he ended up losing two daughters and two son-in-laws and his wife and his two other daughters that were left. He was going to throw them out to be raped by these people. And they were let out of the city, and then these two daughters committed immorality with him and disgraced him. All of this, why? Because it looked good. All because it was something that seemed to be okay. You know, what's wrong with a little greener grass, right? There could be a lot wrong with it, especially when it's the devil's grass. A prime example of what we're in this. He's pinched his tent towards Sodom. He didn't start out being there, but he ended up there. And when Christ saved you, a new nature was replaced the old, so that your new nature and old sins are no longer compatible. If it may seem that a Christian who is on his way to heaven is really living it up, they are miserable and dying on the inside because it's going against the spiritual nature that God has given them. Though they persist in their stubbornness. I'm still going to do what I'm going to do. Why? It's bringing you grief and vexation of spirit. It's empty. As Ecclesiastes 1 we looked at this morning, it's all vexation and grief and vexation of spirit. Why live that way? Because we don't want to admit we made a mistake. Don't want to admit that this isn't the way to go. There's no peace, there's no rest for the wicked. After looking at this list, don't you think we're not missing anything, are we? We're not missing out. The devil says you're missing out. We're not missing out on anything. We can, however, miss everything. Come back Wednesday, and that's going to be the message Wednesday. I was supposed to preach it tonight, but it kind of stretched out. Is that how you can miss everything? Not missing anything in the world, but if you're living like the world, you sure can miss everything that God wants you to have. So tonight, where are we at? Where would we be? Are we in the place of emptiness? In bondage, in grief. Are we in that place of distress? We can be set free tonight. In a moment, we're going to have our invitation time. I encourage you to come. Make a decision. Don't live the way you've been living. You know what? There's joy in serving Jesus. Joy that throbs within my heart. Every moment, every hour, as I lean upon his power. There is joy, joy, joy. If you're serving God. But guess what? If you're not serving God, you're a Christian, you're not serving God, you are going to be the most miserable creature on this earth. You're going to be convicted. You're going to feel terrible about it. And you know what? I can't do anything about it. Yes, you can. You can go to Jesus and he can do something about it. He can change you. He can set you free. But will you be? I've come too far down the road to turn back. Well, you know, let me ask you something. If you're going down a road, you went down a road 100 miles, but then it says, in 2 miles, bridge out, danger. And you're driving. Well, I've come too far to turn back now. I'm just going to drive over the cliff. So you're nuts. Right? But when Christians say that, really that's not what they're saying. What they're saying is, I've gone too far in this. I really don't want to change. I don't want to change. People that really want to change, trust me, I've had people come up and they pour their heart on this altar and they want to change. They want to be different. They want to go back to the way things used to be. We have too many Christians that used to be. Amen? Too many used to be Christians. We need more of faithful ones now. And the used to be can become faithful again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for tonight. I praise you and thank you. I pray that you'll bless this invitation time. We thank you for your word, for your instruction, for all that you do. I pray that you would bless and help us tonight, that you would be in this invitation. And Lord, if there are any here tonight that aren't saved, or maybe they are living in this place of misery and grief and slavery and emptiness and confusion, say, Pastor, that's where I am. Come to the Lord tonight. Lord, I pray they come. Bring them. You're calling them right now. And that they would respond right now. Come to this altar and get their life right. Dear Lord, I pray that you would do that tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.